Blog Talk Radio.
Can you imagine a place where all the trials and tribulations of the world don't exist? It's a real place. Right now it only exists in man's mind, because the reality of it is that until the time comes for you to get there, you can only picture it. So what I want to do is try to give you a sneak preview of it from my perception. Nothing but happiness and peace felt daily. A place where your children and babies can play safely. Where people genuinely believe in being friendly. No such thing as hatred and no memory of envy. With no problems to face every morning when you awaken. You can sleep with doors wide open and nobody will break in. Where love's force field is too solid to be shaken. Where each child grows up to be great women and great men. No depression, the loneliness, and no sad moments. And people full grown who've never heard of being homeless. Where we manifest our gifts and no dream is too distant. And there are no hospitals, the sickness is non-existent. And love perpetuates itself while no child suffers. And treatment of one another's not based around color. And you'll never hear slander come from anyone's tongue. In 100 years old, it's considered young.
In a perfect world, there would be no pain.
In a perfect world,
no stress, no strain.
In a perfect world,
we would all be wise and see the whole world through God's eyes.
In a perfect world,
no war, no crime.
In a perfect world,
we would share one mind.
In a perfect world,
and all we see is peace and real L-O-V-E.
Nations wouldn't verbally spar with one another.
No.
Point out flaws or seek to go to war with each other.
Each
person has a place and a purpose destined to flourish. No child is ever hurt or malnourished. Money is worthless. We learn in the most spiritually advanced schools. Everything is done God's way. No man-made rules. And poverty is no longer in man's vocabulary. Erased from human thought, recollection, or dictionary. No dream, the most wonderful thing you've ever seen. Every living being gleaming with infinite self-esteem. And belief in the all-wise ruler and best planner. We walk the planet in the most harmonious manner. Where those who rest in here get uncountable blessings. Total strength, trustworthy with your most prized possession. If a man gives his word, he keeps it with no deception. And a mind full of knowledge is the only loaded weapon.
In a perfect world, there would be no pain.
In a perfect world,
no stress, no strain.
In a perfect world,
we would all be wise and see the whole world through God's eyes.
In a perfect world,
no war, no crime.
In a perfect world,
we would share one mind.
In a perfect world,
and all we L-O-V-E.
Is this heaven or the hereafter? The geographical area post-rapture. The book of life's unclear chapter. If it's in the sky, then who derived it? Find someone who's ever died and visualized it, then return here to describe it. Since none have carried out that mission, the question isn't if it's real. The question is it a place or a condition? See, heaven has a great description, but men exaggerate and create division. Make up written lies and fabricate depictions. So stop imagining and understand the basics. Your placement in a heavenly state is self-created. That old statement, life is what you make it, is a true one. Your old existence, erase it and replace it with a new one. See, years of resentment left your progress restricted. New love can never move into your heart till hate's evicted. And this place that I've pictured, look inside if you're wondering where is it. You don't have to give your spirit up to visit.
In a perfect world, there would be no pain.
In a perfect world,
no stress, no strain.
In a perfect world,
we would all be wise and see the whole world
the name of
in the name of Allah. Right. Right here, Sister Yetira.
In the name of Allah. Thanks, Salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad. I also bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and I further bear witness that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and warrior amongst us today. I would like to greet fellow believers and all of our listening audience. In our greeting words of peace, we say in the Arabic language of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salam.
How are you, Brother Kareem?
I'm fine. All praise is due to Allah indeed. How are you, sister?
I am blessed by Allah's grace. I cannot complain.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have everyone on the line, or do I need to give you the area code?
I've got four people on the line. They just don't have their hands up. I don't know. I mean, I can just make their mics laugh if you want me to do that. That's not a problem.
Well, I have three people calling in as far as who's going to be on the show.
What I would have you do is let them know they need to press 1 on their dial pad so I'll know that it's them. So you just call them out and let them know they need to press 1 on their dial pad. I know it's them. I'll bring them up.
Okay, Sister Samaya, Brother Demetrius, and Brother Naeem, if you can all press 1 on your dial pads, then we can make your mics live. Please and thank you.
All right, we're rolling now. There you go.
All right.
And you just, okay, so they can identify themselves. I'm just going to be in the background here.
Okay. Assalamualaikum, families, Ezra on.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, let's take a long, ma'am.
Is Brother Naeem on? I don't have his number, Brother Kareem, Brother Naeem.
Okay. I mean, there is one other caller out there.
Brother Demetrius on, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Demetrius. Brother Naeem, if you're on, can you press 1 so we can identify you and bring your mic live? Give the brother a minute.
Sure, no problem, isn't it? So, I mean, so your topic tonight, I mean, what do you all going to talk about?
Yes, sir. So our topic tonight is, you know, the mindset of the youth, and we just want to, you know, look inside of the mind of all of our youth and just where are we going, where are we headed, what are we faced with today, what are, you know, what are our concerns, and just kind of an open discussion where, you know, we can really, you know, hear from the young gifted and black from our community and just, you know, really get into the mindset of them, you know?
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. Well,
yes, sir. I just wanted to introduce, you know, who we have on the line. When Brother Naeem gets on, you know, we can go ahead and, you know, let him introduce himself as well. But Brother Demetrius, if you want to, you know, introduce yourself, just give yourself a little background for the listening audience, what you want them to know about you.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, Muhammad's Messenger. My own Brother Demetrius X. I came into the nation in 2006. I am a former person that was in the streets doing a lot of illegal things, getting in trouble, being incarcerated, being a star football and basketball player, team captain, so I did a lot of things that was on certain levels and failed, supposed to be going into the NFL and failed due to drug activity, and found my way to the Nation of Islam and cleaned myself up And now, you know, I'm here, have a family, been married, and thankful just to be here and thankful for life. So I'm 33 years old, and I'm ready for the world and the challenge. So this is me, Demetrius Tess. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. Thank you, sir, for the intro, little bio of you. Thank you so much. This is Samaya.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. If you could just introduce yourself and tell us the answers, you know, a little bit about yourself.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Sister Samaya Muhammad. I am in school, 22. I'm married. I was born into the nation, but, you know, still working on things. Everyone's not perfect, but we're still working towards perfection. Currently, at this moment, I am pregnant, so I might get a little emotional with certain parts. that is all I have to say for right now. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Thank you for sharing a lot of that information that you didn't have to. do we have Brother Naeem on yet, Brother Kareem? Brother Kareem, not losing everybody.
I'm here. I have two more callers that just joined the show, but again, I don't know who they are. I mean,
okay.
they're not identified, right?
Okay, Brother Naeem, if one of those calls is you, if you just called in, if you can press 1 so we can identify you and make your mic live.
Not so far.
Okay. Well, I'll just begin with the questions, and inshallah, if he calls in, you know, he'll just add him on.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to start off with, you know, just some general questions. Because Brother Demetrius, we can just start with you, and you know, what do you face, you know, today? As a Muslim in America, what kind of struggles do you see that you face on a day to day basis?
Okay, repeat that one more time.
Yes, sir. What kind of struggles do you face on a day to day basis as a young black Muslim in America?
Oh yes, ma'am. Definitely. I struggle to get back and establish myself back into the world. Being a young black man, falling victim to the streets so young, and now trying to live the right way, going into the world of business and trying to create a job for yourself or get a job that's actually paying enough money to suffice you and your family. It's kind of difficult when you always got that charge up under your belt. Being a felony, you run into so many things that you educate yourself on, and you see so many jobs that you just that's sitting right in your hand, but every time it's time to get that job, it's always you got a felony, you got this, you got that. After getting out of incarceration, it was a time bar where, you know, it was like 5 years when it comes to, like, truck driving and different things. But every year they seem to keep pushing it up further from 5 years to 7 years, and now it's 10 years. And it's like you're chasing after being able to be accepted back into the world after you done did your time and seemed like you should have been forgiven, but it's like they never forget. So I think that's a struggle for me, being able to have something if you have not went out and created a job on your own and trying to get a job and rely on what's out here to pay you to suffice you and your family. It's like it's a trial there, and you have children on the outside of the family that you're living in, dealing with child support and trying to be a man and step up to your responsibility. It's one of those things where you seem not to be bringing in enough sometimes if you're relying on a job that's related to whatever the world is offering. So that, I think that's a trial for me, and I think it's plenty of trials that a lot of young black males going through nowadays.
Right, right. Yes, sir. I don't have to be male to agree with that. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Demetrius.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sister Samaya, as a young black queen and, you know, living in today's society in America, what do you see your main struggles that you face, you know, again, on a day-to-day basis?
My main struggles, I'm trying to think carefully, because it's like, I guess because I grew up, some things come naturally. Because it's, like, been, like, my parents are like, this, and now it's, like, every time, even if I try to get a T-shirt on, it's, like, get something else to cover up, make something longer. I guess it would probably be covering my hair the most.
Uh-huh.
Something to cover it. Because, I don't know, sometimes that gets a little bit difficult, especially if certain things don't match or things fall off so much. You just get your hair done and you're trying to keep it up sometimes. And certain materials so it doesn't break out here. Like, it's things like that. But thing, especially with the parents that I had that were always on me, it's like it's coming natural. So it wasn't, even when people had things to say, I never felt like, oh, no, they're going to pick on me, they're going to say this. It was like, because I knew what religion I was in, I knew what was coming, and I knew what was right. Because my parents put it in my mind, like, you know what the truth is, so stick with it. So it's like, even when they say this and that and blah, 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 it's like, it's not, like, what they have to say, like, even though they think they're trying to put me down, it's like, it's going in one ear, out the other. And so it is like, I speak the truth, and they're like, oh, that makes sense. So it's like, anything, even when I wear, it's like, I bring a different kind of environment around me. So instead of, like, if I was to wear something tight and you get the wrong attention, I try to keep myself covered a certain way that I get positive attention instead of, like when I see people, like, staring at me, I don't just, like, oh, look what they're going to think. If I'm wearing my garment, they're going to pick on me. It's like I walk with confidence because I know what I'm representing, and I know it's the truth, and I can't fight the truth because it is what it is.
Mm. Yes, ma'am. That is powerful. Thank you.
I just want to add one more thing.
Yes, ma'am, feel free. The mic is yours.
One thing that mainly stuck with me is how my parents would always let me know is my name. They said that my name meant Samaya, someone who submits himself to the will of God, someone who's loyal to God. So it's like constantly in my mind, even when no one sees me or I think no one sees me or no one might be around, it's constantly in my mind, like, if I do this, be prepared for the consequences. Be prepared for what's going to come next. So just stay on the right path because it always happens. Especially being young, it's like, oh, who's going to know? And it always hits me hard. And I'm like, wow, I should have suspected this. Like, it always comes hard. So it's like I stick with my name, and I'm like, God's watching everything. Like, I take nothing for granted of anything that might happen.
Wow, yes, ma'am. I'm praise due to Allah. And I think it was the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad who said that a good name is better than gold. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but yes, ma'am. And I just wanted to, you know, again, bear witness to what you were saying because, you know, I deal with a lot of youth, you know, I'm a youth myself, so, but, you know, the younger sisters in the mosque and things of that nature. So the struggle is very real, you know, when it comes to, you know, I just want to applaud you first, you know, because it's a struggle for a lot of people, but your struggle didn't sound like it was a, you know, it didn't sound at all like it had anything to do with, you know, being picked on by people, like you just said. It's more so of a, you know, matching this or, you know, things that aren't really a fear thing. It has nothing to do with fear, so it just shows your strength and that, you know, you are going to stand up for what you believe in, you know, regardless to whom or what. And I, you know, I really applaud that, you know, you're young and characteristic you know, it may be in people. It is in people, but, you know, sometimes it's a lot deeper than, you know, we would like it to be. So I just want to applaud you for being able to hold your head up high and walk your path, you know, in a perfect manner. So, you know, we're always striving, and I just want to applaud you for that. And, again, you know, the youth that I deal with or just girls that I know, you know, in the world. Oh. Is somebody's phone staticky?
Okay. I hear it, too. I don't know which.
Can we put our phones on mute, maybe? Okay, there we go.
That was actually from area code 813.
On the line?
Yes, right, on the line.
Okay. I think he got it. That's me, his brother Demetrius.
Okay, that's his. Okay, well then when you're ready, I'll bring him back in.
Okay. Yes, sir. But yes, I was just saying, you know, like I said, I'm a youth too, and the struggle is very real. You know, whether it be the youth of the nation or just in the world in general, where modest attire or carrying yourself in a certain way is hard for a lot of young girls, especially you know, girls who have maybe a low self-esteem or things of that nature. They feel like if they dress a certain way, that's how they'll get the attention that they want or feel that they need. And I was actually listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show one morning, and he was saying how there was like a test that went out on some girls where, you know, a group of girls had pictures, you know, not inappropriate clothing, and a group of boys were judging them. They were behind the scenes, and they were just listening to how the boys was talking so harsh and negatively about how they were dressed, and they were all backstage, you know, boo-hoo crying in tears with hearing what they were saying. And two out of the three girls, you know, completely just changed their whole attire, looked at that was like a wake-up call for them. And, you know, when the boys had the opportunity to, you know, pick which girl would you choose to, you know, talk to, which girl would you have more respect for, you know, it's the girls that covered up or, you know, dressed more in a modest way, because it gives a certain message. So, you know, that struggle is so very real, you know, in the nation and outside of it. And again, I just want to applaud you for your strength that, you know, you're not going to let anyone take you off your post. So praise due to Allah. And Brother Kareem, well, let me just announce for Brother Naeem again. Again, I don't know if he's on yet, but if you are on, Brother Naeem, just hit number, press 1, and we can make your mic live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, we got Brother Naeem on?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Praise be to Allah. Well, let's pause the show really quick, and if you'd like to take a few moments to introduce yourself to the listening audience.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. I'm Brother Naeem Muhammad. I'm 13 years old. I'm from Tampa, Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Naeem. This is one of our young, FOI, powerful, mighty, strong-minded, and very articulate, as you can all hear. So thank you again, Brother Naeem, for participating on the show on such short notice. Everyone is such short notice, actually, on this call. I just want to thank everybody again for participating.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me see. Now, well, Brother Naeem, we just finished talking about a question that I was asking. Is that somebody's background again? We can just keep our phones on mute if there's any background noise. Brother Naeem, the question that we were just going over was, what struggles do you face on a day-to-day basis, you know, being a young black man in America?
You know, I can't say that I'm picked on like that. I can't really say that, but you know, sometimes I feel people sometimes I feel people are, you know, like, judging me inside, and, you know, it doesn't really affect me, because, I mean, if they don't want, obviously, if they can't say it to me, it doesn't matter what they think, or to me, it doesn't matter what they think, but, you know, sometimes I face that, and I have a feel like some people be staring at me, like they want to try something, or they be staring at me, they would be staring at me, and they had this look on their face like, why is he wearing that, whatever, you know. And, I mean, it doesn't push me to the point where I would change myself or anything like that, because I'm me, and I can only be Naeem, you know. I can't be anybody else, you know. But I can't say that I have major problems. Like, every day I'm always wondering what someone's going to say, you know. The thought comes to my mind. What someone might think, what someone might say, but I don't really have any problems, you know.
Mhm. Wow. Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Brother Naeem.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, sir. Sister Samaya, my next question for you is: where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years. Be talking about, like, dealing with, like, anything dealing with the future, like job, school, success, like anything?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anything and everything, whatever you feel you want to share or feel.
I see myself getting better. It's like right now I'm, like, at a spot when it's like, okay, I see myself growing, but it's like I just want to see myself keep moving. Like, I love, like, how it's going from one thing to another. I'm just ready for that next step. And I'm like, the type of person I am, I don't like staying in one spot. I'm not sitting around waiting for somebody to make a move for me, get this for me. I'm not really the type that likes to depend on everyone, because everyone's got their own thing, and they might not always be able to move out on it. So it's like I like to make moves, and, like, I'm the move maker. So I'm like, oh, look for this spot, look for that spot. Oh, it's like they're, like, talking about, like, doing walks and everything for, like, breast cancer. And I'm like, oh, searching up things so I can find a group of us to go out. So it's like I like to make moves. I really, there's multiple things that I see myself doing, but it's not really one thing I see myself doing. It's like multiple things.
Yes, like, ma'am, care to share?
I'm sorry, what happened?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh. I see myself doing multiple things. I'm very versatile. I can't really say anything specific. I just want to make the next move. And wherever I need to make that move, of course it's going to be in the nation. It's going to deal with Islam anytime I make the move or whatever I'm making the move for. So it's
right,
just,
right.
I'm just going to move for my future. Wherever God takes me, whatever he's willing to do for me and everything like that, any signs he may give me, it's like I'm prepared mentally to get myself ready for what's going to happen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Samaya, for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Demetrius, you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And what about you? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, actually, like the sister said, I always seen myself as a playmaker since day one of just playing sports. And I see myself in 5 years actually making some plays happen on an economic basis of being able to help my people that's around me to empower them one way or the other in different aspects, and gathering, getting in a position to gather my people together, you know, just not with the nation, but actually, you know, Christians and other religious backgrounds, just all together be able to join hands in hands to be able to make a movement towards righteousness and build a nation that's more righteous than the nation that we're living in now. And, you know, I definitely see myself, which is not about money, but enough to where I can be able to help out and the ones that's around me to be able to take care of themselves and to be able to have, to be able to move towards some kind of movement to what we don't need no more. So I'm positioning myself now. So 5 years from now, you know, I'm in that position to be able to take care of the ones that surround me, myself, my nation, and those that's on the outside of my nation that surrounded us in righteousness.
Yes, sir. Prince Bixola, thanks a lot. We got to push that economic blueprint.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Brother Demetrius. And my young brother, Naeem, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, I see myself, one, being successful in the world, and two, serving my nation.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, three, I see myself, you know, helping my family out, serving my family, you know, getting help from my brother, older brother that's in college, mentoring my sister, you know, and learning more, you know, serving my nation, doing whatever I can, joining the FOI, you know, getting registered, doing whatever I can, being successful, owning a business, going to college, getting one of the best degrees that you can get, giving myself a chance.
That's powerful. Everybody, he's 13. Listen to the way this man is speaking. with the mind like that, I don't see what could stop you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for sharing. Brother Kareem, if there are any calls in queue or anything like that, please feel free to, you know, stop us so we can get questions answered or hear some comments or concerns.
Yes, ma'am. Will do. I don't have anyone at this point, but let me remind the listening audience that this all shows on Nation Building Network are audience-driven. So if you hear something, you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. We'll make your mic live, and you can join the conversation. Anyone that's in the chat room, you have a question, just type your question in. We'll ensure that it gets answered. But there's no one with their hand up at this point in time.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Let's move on to our next question. Let's see. Brother Naeem, we can start with you. What's your favorite thing about being in the Nation of Islam?
Oh, my, wow. I wish I could give 5 favorite things about staying in the Nation of Islam.
Top two.
Once I got in the Nation, you know, I just love how it changes people. You know, it changes people. And, I mean, I'm not saying before I got in the Nation of Islam, I was just, you know, just a low-down bum or something like that. But, you know, it changed me, you know. I feel more on a higher spiritual level. I still have work to do. You know, I'm not perfect, but I can't say that it hasn't changed me, and I can't say that, and it's been a good change. Nothing has affected me the wrong way from joining the Nation of Islam. I learned a little more, you know, and it's not just knowledge. It is knowledge, but it's not just knowledge on one thing. Learn better how to act, you know, a little bit how to dress, a little bit how to eat better, you know, learn stuff about myself, about my people. So, you know, that has to be, if I had to choose one, that's my favorite thing about the Nation of Islam, how it changes our brothers, you know. You look at some of the brothers that have joined in, they're talking about how they used to be robbers, thieves, gang members, killers. I was none of that. And I still got changed. And now these brothers are changed around. Captains, talking perfectly, you know, healthy, clear skin, and everything like that. So that has to be my favorite, how it changes people.
Wow. Once again, everyone, he's 13. Thank you, Brother Zion. That is a very powerful perspective.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, that is powerful coming from anyone, but just the fact that, you know, you're able to see that, you're able to acknowledge and see that yourself, you know, I I believe that that speaks, you know, on its own, because, you know, it's one thing for someone who's been in the world long enough or has the experience or, you know, a keen eye to point these things out, but, I mean,
right.
You're young. I mean, I'm young, but you're young. I'm 21. But, you know, for you to be able to, you know, see these things and then be able to expound upon them, you know, that's a blessing. You know, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you again, Brother Naeem.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No problem.
Brother Demetrius, and you, what's your favorite thing about the Nation of Islam?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's so many. Like Brother Naeem stick out. Like you said, it was very, like you said, you see how people change is definitely, it's a great thing to do. But I also, the discipline of how the nation operate and the structure of how the nation operate is so great. And the biggest thing is right now living in the time of prophecy and knowing that you walking with the man of God and up under the messenger of God, taking orders from the messenger of God in this time, it always seems to amaze me just to know that in this day and time, you walking with the Jesus of today.
Mm.
It always seems to amaze me every time I think about it. And I think that's one of the greatest things that sticks out to me. But it's so many, like I said, and our discipline is something that I very much love and adore, because even when I was in church, I was allowed to do so many things. And one thing about coming to the nation, you know, you don't tolerate none of that I was doing when I was in the church. You know, I was doing everything that I could think about, and I was doing it around the church members. And it was like a norm. Like, it wasn't like nobody really, you know, held me accountable for nothing that I was doing. It was like a normal. Like, even the ones that was in there with me, we was just doing things. It was regular. But when I came into the nation, we weren't allowed to do anything when it came down to the nation. And if you did, you better not do it in no one's face, or you'll be held accountable for it. And I appreciated that discipline that the nation held up. And so those are, you know, two things that definitely I appreciate and sticks out to me with the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. All praise due to Allah. Beautiful, beautiful points and powerful points as well, Brother Demetrius. Thank you again.
Thank you, ma'am.
All praise due to Allah. This is Samaya. And last but not least, what's your favorite thing about the Nation of Islam?
My one word to describe the Nation of Islam is truth.
Mm.
It can be in many different ways, but the word is the truth. The way things are acted is the truth. Everything that comes is truth, and it has facts to back it up, too. And it's like you can't say anything. Like, even you're like, oh, but I want to wear this anyway, then it goes exactly according to what they said. When you wear certain things, it brings the wrong attention. When you dress more appropriate, it brings a reflection. It brings confidence. It brings so many different things on how to eat, to live, how to act in public, how to do so many things, and also the facts and history. It can't be proven wrong, and that's what I love so much about it. Because it's like everyone's going to say, oh, but if you do this, and then it's like once you go right to the teachings, it explains it and everything and breaks it down, like, to the T, exactly why it's not right or why something is correct in the appropriate way of this. And it just, I've never seen anyone say anything for it to be proven wrong. And I love that kind of energy and that kind of love. And they never sugarcoat it either. It's either it is what it is, and that's what it is. Like, they don't try to sugarcoat, like, oh, well, it might, or oh, this and that. They're going to let you know what it is. And it's so real. And it's like a kind of love, hard love, especially that our people need at this point, because everyone can't take it certain ways. So it's like just to hear the truth, like, come right at you. Some people might need some time, but still it's like it'll hit them eventually, like, oh, that does make sense. And God is my witness. Every single time I might feel like down, or I'm just like, oh, this is happening, or this issue is happening. Every time I go to the mosque, it feels like that lecture is specifically for me. And that's how a lot of people feel, too. It's like, I feel like that was for me. And it's just like, it's like a wow moment for me. I'm like, that's what I need. And it just changes my spirit. I'm like, okay, so I need to get myself together. I need to do this. I need to do that. Especially when you're around strong believers, too, that can also help. And they might know some of the teachings, too, of that situation that you're going through. But it's just truth. And I'm attracted to it so much because it can't be proven wrong. I see no other way.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Maya. Powerful, powerful, powerful.
I just want to agree with everybody. Everything that everyone said is my favorite thing, too. I love all those different things, you know, from the changing of the people to the discipline to the truth and all. And, you know, I can say that for me, you know, I can bear witness again to it all. I know, for example, with the mindset and the changing of the people, within myself, the nation has really changed me and has allowed me to, you know, look at myself. And I think that's my favorite thing in being in the nation is, reflection, the self analyzation of just me and who I am, and learning me, loving me, understanding myself. And because, you know, in the world, again, I'm just like Brother Naeem said, you know, I wasn't crazy or, you know, anything like that, but it was harder for me to accept someone telling me something about myself. You know, if someone said that I was arrogant, no, I'm not. You know, you can't tell me otherwise. You know, even me arguing back and forth about it, no, I don't see that. I don't believe it. You know, I wasn't able to see anything negative, you know, because anybody could throw a positive comment. I'm going to catch that, of course. But when something negative was thrown about me, I just, you know, I wasn't hearing it. I wasn't having it. And then as I came into the nation and really started learning about myself and accepting myself, and that helped me to want to be better. And, you know, also just the mindset and learning how to look at things differently. This past Savior's Day, I really reevaluated my life and, you know, devoted my life to, you know, the nation. And when I got back from Savior's Day, my car was repoed. And the first thing in my mind was, you know, I thank Allah, and I know this is a trial. You know, instantly it was just, you know, this is a trial, and I want to prove to him that I'm in it for him. I'm in it for, you know, I'm in it for life. You know, you can throw whatever at me, Allah, and I'm not turning my back on you. You know, I won't curse you and things of that nature. But before, you know, before I came into the nation, before I knew anything about the nation, I didn't really have a real relationship with God. And things could happen, and when bad things happened, my mind was automatically, is there really a God? You know, why is this happening if God is real? And, you know, things like that. So I can just, you know, I really know that things really did, a light was really shed upon me, a grace, you know, Allah's grace and mercy was really, you know, put upon me. And I just thank him for allowing me to, you know, see myself, for opening my heart, softening my heart, and allowing me to accept the truth for what it is, just like you said, Sister Samaya. So everything that everyone said, I agree with. Everything everyone said was beautiful and powerful. And, I, you know, again, I just want to thank you for sharing your statements, your testimonies, your viewpoint. And we're going to move on to the next question. Now, a couple of days ago, Brother Kareem had a show on, and we were talking a lot about how to eat to live for real. And one of the questions that were posed to me was, you know, I believe it was, how are we stressed, or how am I stressed, or how I deal with the stress? And I just wanted to ask you all, you know, how do we handle stress when we're faced with, you know, when we get when we get stressed out, how do we handle that? You know, what are we doing to handle that? Brother Demetrius, would you like to answer first?
Yes, ma'am. You asked how do I handle my stress?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I watched the minister. I throw a DVD on that if it's something that I'm going through that relates to that problem. I do that a lot. You know, I read. If there's a way that I can make money, I go out there and grind and make me some money. There's so many different ways, but the most powerful thing is always challenging the way that I think and always trying to put something positive. I think of something that could be worse than what I'm going through or whatever it is that really stresses me out. So I try not to let anything really stress me. It's not too much of anything that goes on right now in my life that really, really have a lot of stress, because I find something to challenge that, a channel that of thinking. So whatever it is, it comes, and then I find something to take it away. And whether it's positive of thinking or throwing a minister on, reading, whichever method I choose to use, I make sure I try to do that as fast as possible before it just sits on my mind and have me feeling down and out, because I know it's too many things that's going on in the world that
right.
can be worse than what I'm going through. So.
Yes, sir. That's beautiful. I praise you to Allah. And I just wanted to add something to what you said, because what stuck out to me was you said, you know, as soon as possible you try to apply those methods. And that's key to me, because, you know, we're taught that the sun light, it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for the light and warmth of the sun to, you know, reach here on Earth. And that same 8 minutes and 20 seconds it takes for the blood to circulate, you know, from head to toe back to head. And, you know, that whole thing is just the thought process of letting certain thoughts stay within us too long. You know, if you think on negativity, you know, 8 minutes and 20 seconds, it's there. You know, it's harder to push that off you. You didn't let that take over you, pretty much. So, you know, the fact that you said as soon as possible, you know, I need to put something positive in me, you know, now. In 8 minutes, I need to be feeling better. I need to change my environment. I need to change, you know, the state that I'm in right now. So I just thought that was really key. And that's what stuck out to me, Brother Demetrius, so thank you.
Thank you.
And Brother Naeem, how do you handle your stress? I mean, you're 13, you shouldn't be stressed out, but...
Well, yes, ma'am. I have a few ways. I have a few ways that I handle it. The first way, most certainly, is praying, you know. That's the only way sometimes to cool yourself down. And that's what my mom was saying. She's like, that's the only way sometimes to cool yourself down. And it is, because, I mean, sometimes I'll just pray when I'm very stressed out. I'll just pray really hard and pray for everybody. And I'll just sit there, and I just get so emotional. Sometimes I'll start crying. But that's really one way that I do is when it's really big, I'll definitely pray. But if it's something like small, you know, might just, you know, just do simple stuff like, you know, use resistance bands, lift up a little bit, pull up, tire myself out, and something like that. But most certainly pray is the most effective way.
Yes, sir. I'll praise you to Allah. Thank you, Brother Naeem.
Yes, ma'am.
Before I come to you, Sister Samaya, I just wanted to, you know, Brother Kareem, you know, you add a lot of, you know, insightful things, so I just don't want you to, you know, hesitate or hold back if there's something that you feel like you want to share with us.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Sister Yatira. I would just say this, that on that question that you shared with them from our broadcast on Monday, about stress. See, we, again, it's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, he taught us that there were three things that we had to have to be successful in this work, in this life that we live, and which is Islam. He told us that we had to have, we had to master. He didn't just say learn. He said we had to master mathematics. He said that we had to have a comprehensive knowledge of and understanding of history. And the third thing he said was is that we must have a command of the English language. And so often that word stress is given a negative connotation. Pardon me. Allah tells us in the Quran that struggle is ordained. You know, it is, in other words, we're not going to go through this life without struggling. That's just it. And so part of struggle is stress. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a form of exercise called isometrics, where you pit your own muscles against themselves. Well, part of that and part of what makes that work is the stress. And so the thing is that we're going to have stress, and the answers that have been given are fantastic. I mean, these are the things that we must do. We simply have to understand that stress is not a bad thing. It's part of what helps to develop us and make us based upon how we handle the stress. The thing that we are suffering from as a people and in people in general in the world are suffering from is undue stress. For example, one of the things that I believe it's Brother Dimitri mentioned, the fact that, okay, we live in a system that sets the black man up to go to jail. Then he goes to jail, does his time, comes out. And in order, and so now he comes out and he's looking for this job, but then everything is set up to keep him from getting a job. Everything is set up to send him back into that situation. See, that's undue stress. That's something that is undeserved. So those are the things that we've got to look at is really, like I say, that's why we have to have a command of the language so we'll know what's going on. And I'm going to close on this note. You all, as our youth, it is vital that you take everything that comes from the elders, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then even as it was brought during the Holy Day of Atonement, and as the minister himself has said, I mean, we need to study Booker T. Washington. We need to study Marcus Garvey. Everything that we have from the elders and how they handled their stress, the things that were placed on them, we can draw from that. You know, so I want to thank you, Sister Yatir, for allowing me to say a few words. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. All praise be to Allah. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom and insight. Brother Kareem, again, I love hearing from you. You always have, you know, wealth of information, and you know how to give it to us, you know, strong, quick, and, you know, just straight to the point. So thank you for being willing.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah.
Yes, all praise be to Allah. My speech is clean. I apologize. This is Samaya. And the question, you know, remains, how do you handle, you know, your stress?
Yes, ma'am. What the brothers were saying was very powerful. And it was funny because that was kind of my note, but in my own words. I'm like, okay, they said it before me. Now I got to change the words around. But it's so true because, of course, like when I was younger growing up, it's like my mom was like, oh, do a prayer. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like putting my head in the pillow screaming like, all right. But it's like as I got older and I started really thinking about things, like, and my mom would say, everything happens for a reason. Allah wouldn't allow it to happen if he didn't feel like you couldn't get through it. So it's like everything that pops in my head. Of course, some things come at once, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't take it, or break down. But then I was like, It's like I try to get myself together. I'm like, do a prayer. And prayer really clears my mind. Like, it's like, okay, relax, think everything through. And sometimes when I'm at a stump, I'll call my mom or my dad or some of the Sister Catherine or someone that I know, like, has either been through an issue like this or someone that can really help me think more or, like, clearing things up. And it comes so fast. Like, like, every single time, like, I just be riding through the car, and then it's like, if I feel a certain way, I'm just like, and I just bust out with a prayer. I just do it randomly, too. It comes to that point where it's like, I know that it's like saying a prayer relaxes me. Because, you know, as our people, sometimes we get so stressed out, and with stress, we might act a certain way to others, anger, neglect, and a whole bunch of other things, but it puts me in a better positive spirit. But it comes a lot. But through prayer, I tell you, that really, it really relaxes and it clears and lets me think more clearly of, like, what I need to do, what I have to do. Maybe I need time. Maybe this is the guidance. And every time I do a prayer, I'm like, where is he trying to send me? What does he need me to see? Because obviously I'm so built up with so much stuff that's in my head, I'm not looking right. I'm not seeing what he's trying to put out, like, either through my parents or through my husband or through the sisters. And then I always hear a word or someone texts me randomly, like, oh, I've been thinking about you. Or I might drive by a place. And I'm like, oh, just lost my job. I drive by a place, and it's like, help wanted. And it's like, bam, there it is. So it's like, it helps me see. Like, don't stop, keep moving. But prayer really clears. Like, that's the only way I see it. I feel like prayer helps you within yourself. Because it has to be through you. I feel that prayer helps you, and it guides you through a lot.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. And I just want to agree, again, you know, with prayer, I'm really learning, you know, over time how to really turn it over and give it to Allah. And I can honestly say that I instantly feel a difference. You know, before the nation, I wasn't much of a talker as far as, I was always social, but I was social to the sense of, you know, I'm going to make everybody else laugh. You know, I'm going to make somebody else feel better before I make myself feel better. And then, you know, whenever I had issues or problems, I would just be home, and I didn't talk to anyone about it. You know, I just dealt with it by myself. You know, I'll listen to music and walk, or I'll write, or I'll cry and sleep or whatever. But, you know, coming into the nation, I really have learned that, you know, just, I pray to Allah. I talk to Allah constantly. Like, I'm always talking to Allah. And whenever there's something that's heavy on my heart, or, you know, I'm dealing with something that I just feel like I'm overwhelmed, I bring it to Him. And it's literally like, I'm in. Okay, it's lifted up. Wow, I can get up. I'm good. You know, you got it. I can move on. I don't feel heavy anymore. And, you know, it was a trial for me to get to this point, because, you know, I thought I opened up. You know, I opened up. I didn't just keep my issues to myself. I would talk to sisters, and, you know, that helped, you know, just being able to talk about it. But after I left from them, you know, I still was uneasy. I still had, you know, concerns. My heart was still heavy. My stomach was still sunken in, still turning. So when I brought it to Allah, I was like, oh, I see you from the beginning. So I definitely compare when it's to the prayers. Allah is my best friend, and I just turn to Him when I'm stressed, when I'm not stressed, when I'm stressed. So, you know, thank you all for sharing. All your people.
Both team, any callers in queue or anything? Questions in the chat room?
No, ma'am. No questions in either the chat room or on the phone. And again, I will remind the listening audience that if you have any comments, any questions, it would be very much appreciated if you would press 1 on your dial pad and join us in this most important conversation. I mean, if you would tell them again what the title of the subject, you know, what your topic is tonight.
Yes, sir. Again, the topic is exploring the mindset of the youth today. Again, we're just, you know, we just want to hear from the youth and in all walks of life, just different topics as far as, you know, how are you dealing with struggles that you deal with every day, or you know, what issues do you face? You know, where do you see yourself? What do you want to be? And what do you see for your future? How do you plan on securing your future? Just, you know, any and everything that goes on through the, you know, in the mind of a youth daily. You know, we're just talking about it. So if you have any questions or you want to share anything, again, like Brother said, just hit 1 on your dial pad and join the conversation. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. I'm looking. Nobody's joining in as of yet. But, you know, that's something, and I will say this, that's something that we find on all levels and that we have to grow out of and also help our people to grow out of, you know, is that, well, I'm just going to sit back on the sidelines and listen. I mean, that's fine. Sometimes, however, the time that we are in now, with everything that is going on, I mean, you can see the clock winding down. We talk about the judgment. I mean, the judgment has been given. And whether or not you can see it or not, we're already in the destruction. It's just that the complete destruction hasn't started yet, you know, because the mercy of Allah is still on scene. The thing is that we at this point in time need to, as I often say, not, you know, we can't just sit back in the sidelines. We need to participate or we dissipate. You know, I mean, and that's just it. I mean, this is, so, I mean, that's the thing. But I noticed that about a lot of individuals, and then I've noticed it a lot on the shows, that a lot of times individuals will wait until we're the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show, and then there's just not enough time for a person to express themselves fully. You know, so it's, however, remember, the duty of the messenger is clear delivery of the message. And that's what you all are doing. So, you know, you just continue on. At some point, I may have a question or two myself, but I'm just going to reserve that for now and let you all continue.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to say, you know, adding on to what Brother Kareem said, you know, it took a lot for me to be here right now, because even though I'm doing the show, you know, it was me stepping out of my comfort zone, you know. I was just that, you know, I'll support you and whatever you're doing. Let me sit in the back. You know, let me not say anything. No, I'm here, but I don't want to say anything. And, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, strength and courage just to ask a question. And, you know, all of us have been that person in school where we don't get something, but we don't want to raise our hand because we feel like we're going to be, you know, we ask a stupid question, and then our friend next to us asks us the very same question that we were going to ask, and then everybody's like, oh, I'm going to ask that question, and look, you know, how that works. So we definitely have to, you know, come out of our comfort zone and, you know, be able to take the throne. Okay. My next question I wanted to ask, one of my sisters, you know, they texted me in a question, and she just wanted to, you know, hear from everyone about dating outside of, you know, your religion. So I just want to, you know, hear everyone's different, you know, perspectives on the effects of dating outside your religion, or how do you view that? Brother Demetrius, are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Do you want to answer that question?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I definitely would say, as the Bible speaks on being equally yoked, being in the nation of Islam and having so many things that we respect, live by, and die by, you know, I know that the average person, most people in the world, could not relate to that way of life and go up under that way of living and structure and discipline and belief. So I wouldn't advise no one in the nation to go and date or marriage, go into marriage outside of that faith. But we are all taught that we all Muslims, and those ones that don't know that they Muslims just don't know that they Muslims. And a real Christian is a real Muslim. A real Muslim is a real Christian. And at the end of the day, you know, if one living up to their faith, whether they're a Christian or a Jew or whatever, the principles will just about add up the same. And so, you know, saying that, if that person is a Christian and they're living up to what they claim they are, it can work. You know, the respect level and everything that's around that relationship, it could work and it can happen, but I wouldn't advise anyone to do that, especially if you are a female, being that the female follow the male. I wouldn't advise the woman to step outside and to marry a man that's not part of the faith. So I would say, you know, definitely being in the Nation of Islam, MGT, she's been designed and made a certain way for the FOI to operate. When he goes out selling paper soldiering and whatever it is that he's doing, she really are tailor-made to fit him. To when he's stressing, she's have the words and the actions that need to take place to comfort him. And if you're not in, most times you might miss it. And it might not be by much, but it's just like throwing darts at the bullseye. You know, you off, you don't hit the bullseye. You know, you might do good and get a couple points, but you don't get the bullseye points. But the MDT, she more designed to hit the bullseye. And being in this day and time, that's what you need, you know, as an FOI, somebody to touch home, you know what I mean? Somebody to reach that spot that can't be reached. Somebody that's, you know, might be into auditing, as you might need to be audited, you know what I mean? And your wife able to pull, you know, that engram or pull whatever it is out of you that you need, you know, to be pulled out. But if they're not in and they can't relate totally, it's that little thing that you need that person to relate to that just can't relate. So, you know, that's some of my, not to take up long, my view on dating in and outside of, you know, your faith or religion.
Yes, sir. Powerful point. Thank you for that, Brother Demetrius. Very insightful.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, well, thanks, Salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I have someone with a hand up. I'm going to make their mic live. Area code 901, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I was kind of getting into the conversation. Praise be to Allah, the sister Diatoma. How you doing tonight, this evening?
Praise be to Allah.
What was the question on the table, ma'am?
Oh, yes, ma'am. The question is just about dating, you know, how do we feel about dating in other religions, you know, different religions, you know, dating outside of your religion, excuse me.
Praise be to Allah. Well, in the Quran, it talks about that the adulteress shall marry the adulteress and the idolatress to marry the idolatress, and it clearly speaks that the male himself could take on a non-Muslim wife, but the female, because she is designed to submit to her husband, that she should not take on a non-believer. So basically, to Allah is clearly prohibited. I did get some of the brothers' conversation that he got in regards to how MGT is designed to marry an FOI and how an FOI designed to meet each other's goals and things of that nature. So I just want to collaborate with him and say that that is true. You know, it's, even though in this time and day it's hard, you know, with so much going on. Sister Ava actually was on earlier. Oh, if you guys missed it, listen to it again. She was dealing with modesty, how to be an MGP and modesty. So all today, everything has just been lining up. The conversations today have just been lining up. All praises due to Allah. And what she said in regards to one of the sisters, the young sisters, because they had the young MGT asking her questions, and the thing that she had said was, one of the questions was, how do it relate to being in this world and dealing with all that we deal with? I believe the sister had asked her, oh, God, let me get it exactly, mashallah, excuse me. I think she had asked her, how do we deal with brothers coming at us and dealing with us, and how are we to submit, and what if that person, if they're not submissive, to be submissive too, how do we handle that submissive quality? How do we go about doing that? And she had went deep into, she said, well, basically, you know, the number one thing that we are supposed to do as husband and wife is, number one, it's not about him being our leader. It's not about him being, you know, aggressive. She said, a male, when you say I submit to this man, it's not him directly that we are submitting to, but it is the God within him that we are submitting to. That's why she said it's very important to go through the courtship process, to get to know your mate, to get to understand who they are. And if you see red flags, flee, you know, and be careful, because we as MGT sisters, period, it is our duty to submit. We want to do that. That's why we as women, you know, we succumb to an intelligent man, because we see the God within him. And if we're submitting ourselves to someone outside of our religion that does not believe, to say, I believe that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger and divine Messiah. Now, to them, they're looking like, you worshiping a man? You know, to them, that's like blasphemy. Like, you worshiping a man? Seriously? So he might look at you and say, oh, I love every quality about you. You beautiful. You can cook. You can clean. You know, you got, what'd you say? You got 7 units. Oh, that beautiful. I love them. You know, as a woman, he wants that quality out of you, but he don't want to submit to the God that you're submitting to in order for you to have that quality. So we got to say to each other, do we truly want to go down that road and be against what we say we believe in? Because there's going to be some hindrances. There's going to be some things that's going to come up. Because you as a woman, and if he say, and this is a law, because, you know, if you're married and your husband is not in the nation, you have to sign a letter stating that your husband said you can come. So if he say, if I'm not signing nothing, well, guess what? You can't go. So do you really want to put yourself in that predicament? You want to put yourself in that type of jeopardy to say, you know, yeah, I have to leave the nation because my husband don't want me here anymore. So we have to think about those things before we go down that path. That's why, like sisters and, you know, said, courtships is important, even as an FOI and MGT. You know, she talks about relationship, and she was talking about how we, you know, back in the older days, in the first rank, she said, in the 80s, she said, where we stepping over the boundaries that sisters didn't just kick it with brothers, and brothers didn't just kick it with sisters, and where do they ride in the car with brothers? You know, she put a lot on my heart because, you know, I'm a single sister, you know, and so as a single sister, you know, I'm fraternized with the FOI. You know, this is my first time in the ranks. I'm learning. You know, and I came in learning wrong. I didn't know, because I'm only going by what I see.
you know, I'm used to coming from the streets. I'm used to the government, God, or whoever. I need a ride. Not to say that I'm messing with that person, but it's a security thing. It's a reason why we do what we do, because the energy of a male and a woman is real. That's our, it's our nature to have feelings. It's our nature to want to be with a man. You might not even like him, but you be around him long enough, he start getting cute because he just made you laugh. You know? Crazy. You know, he made me laugh. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not about, you know, it's not about whether you like him or not, but it's about the nature of the man and a woman. You know, it's about the nature of, you know, because the man know how to woo and the woman know how to be wooed, especially when you learn somebody. He might not, and that's why I said be very careful of who we give our ears to. And as I'm talking to your audience, I'm also talking to myself, praise be to Allah, because we got to be careful of who we give our ear to, because when we give our ear to somebody, Allah said, I'm closer than your jugular vein. Well, when someone's talking to your ear, what is right there? Your jugular vein. So then he gets into your ear, then he gets into your heart, then he gets into your desire, then he gets into your want, vice versa. Now, you guys are desiring each other for your characteristics, but really it's more the low desires, the lust, that is making you really want that person. So we have to be careful at how we give our ear to brothers and sisters. And as I'm talking to you, that's the panel in the office, I'm talking to myself as well, too, because a blessing is a reminder and a mercy. So we have to take that for what it is. Praise be to Allah. I hope I gave a little knowledge, you know. Praise be to Allah. Colleen, my brother asked me to, and I had to just jump on board. And I just hope I gave some wisdom. And may Allah bless you all.
Like Salam, Queen. Oh, thank you. I mean, you answered a question. You answered a question. You gave some information. I mean, you gave more than I could have asked for myself. I needed that. And I thank you, sis, for really, oh, my goodness, you're right. A reminder is a blessing.
To Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
All praise is due to Allah, Queen. Thank you. Yes. Wow. I tuned in to Sister Ava, but it was just a little bit. It was probably the last 20 or 30 minutes. So I might have got on right after that conversation because I heard, you know, a lot of sisters was talking about, you know, the modesty thing. But, oh, my goodness, that sister right there, that was just powerful. Oh, thank you, Brother Kareem, catching that.
Oh, all praise is due to Allah.
I feel like we did any of the panelists else want to speak on that? Sister Samai, did you want to speak on that? About dating inside or outside of your religion?
She said enough for me, but she really broke it down. Praise to Allah. She really did. What was the sister's name again?
Sister. Brother Kareem, help me out.
Diet for my security, but I go by sister. But my real name is Sister Jamie X.
Sister Jamie X. Yes, and that was very beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. That was beautiful. Because I really agree. Because it's so true. It's so true. I don't know. I got kind of speechless now. I'm still thinking about what she just said. I'm trying
to. Right. I'm just trying to let it soak in myself. I just, oh, my goodness. It really, you know. I already know that, you know, I only want a FOI, you know, myself as a single sister. But, I mean, just what you all said, sis, it really, I don't know, just hit everything on the head. You just hit it on the head with that. And, man, I think this really what stuck out to me is just I'm designed, just like you said, you know, I want to submit to, you know, the man that I'm supposed to be with. And, you know, just everything you said, just I'm really just trying to let it soak in because that was just so beautiful how you just put it all together. You know, just the nature of the woman, the nature of the man, you know, it's all so true. I bear witness. And, man, I wouldn't be able to submit to a man who doesn't see, you know, a way of life the way I do. You know, I'm eating my one meal a day and waking up, eating, having a snack, eating, got another snack, eat, and, you know, just something along that nature. We, you know,
I'm eating vegetables and fruit, and he cooking swine. And you know, I just can't even imagine, you know, trying to be with someone who doesn't see, you know, the way I see. And wow, that was just powerful, sis.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam, sir.
Yes, I mean, just very quickly, you know, I want to say this. And your question, you know, and it's a very timely question. The thing is it relates back to, again, that command of the English language. That's why in Islam, particularly in the, as we call it, the nation of Islam, we don't date. There is no dating, okay, because the bottom line, I mean, I'm just going to be, and everybody that knows me know that I'm raw. I'm just raw with it. And the bottom line is that we don't date, because when you date, and we can see the evidence any of us that have been in the world or however, when you date, the bottom line is all you're doing is you're setting up a place and a time for a booty call. That's what it's for. That's what people can try to dress up any way they want to. But we don't date, we court. Because the difference between it is that when you court, you come into it, because courting is even a relationship. You come into that relationship with the thought, with the idea of coming together with an individual to become one in Allah. When you date, again, like I said, it goes back to what Sister Jamie was just saying, Sister Diatoma was just saying, the natural physical or lustful attraction between the male and the female. The dating is a precursor to the physical act, because there's no commitment there. There's no thought of commitment there. We're going to get together, we're going to go out, we're going to see what's going to happen. Okay, so we don't date. So, and then you were asking a question about, quote-unquote, dating outside your faith. The faith itself has to be, first and foremost, submission to the will of Almighty God, regardless of what faith expression it may be. And then from that standpoint, now, again, we court. Because, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said many times in many different lectures concerning this, you court because it's just like going to court. We both come and we bring what we offer to the table. We're going to see, in other words, I need to see who you are. You need to see who I am so we can see whether we are compatible and we can walk this path together in serving the Creator. You know, so, I mean, I wanted to share that, but I mean, you all are right on point. I just wanted to share that because so that we could be clear again on the words. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Thank you. I did highlight that. I meant to clear up the language, but you beat me to it. Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
It's Brother Naeem. Can I go ahead and chime in on that?
Yes, sir, 13-year-old.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that, like everybody else has made clear, we shouldn't date, you know. Our sisters, our black, beautiful black sisters, you know, I think we should be serious with them, you know. Either we get into it for eternity until we both end up in the grave, or you just leave it alone, you know. Yeah, all our black sisters are beautiful, no matter what you think they might look like or whatever brother think they might look like. You know, all our sisters are beautiful. They aren't made for dating so you can get with them for a little bit and then get out the relationship. No, our sisters are made for us to be in relationships with and are made for us to be in marriages and be tied together for the rest of our lives, you know? That's what I think.
I'm gonna call your mom when I get off the phone from this call. Praise is due to Allah, yes, sir. That's Brother Naeem, y'all. He's 13. Thank you, Brother Naeem. Brother Kareem, were you going to say something?
No, ma'am. I was done. I was just, like I said, that's why I was backing up. I said what Allah put on my heart to say. I was backing up because, again, this is young, gifted, and black. I just want to do my job and engineer. If I have, and if I can help in any way, I will. But now, y'all handling this. You know, you have no need for me.
Oh, yes, sir, we do. But all praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Okay, let me see where else we're going. I mean, there's so many topics that I have here. I just don't even know what direction to go in. I'm trying to see if my young sister's texted anything else to me. But let's see. This is a good topic. I kind of don't want to. I mean, we'll sway from it, but you know, if it's a lot, we'll go back into it. But let me see. What does the mission mean to you? Brother Naeem, I'm going to let you go. You just on fire tonight. What does the mission in the Nation of Islam mean to you?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, please, because I don't want to be wrong, but I think that the Nation of Islam has multiple missions, you know, and I really do, and here's why and what. I think, what multiple missions, you know? One, of course, we got to teach our brothers and sisters the knowledge of themselves. And what that means to me, I mean, I think that's excellent. Excellent. I think that's a perfect place to start, you know? That's a perfect place to start. Our brothers and sisters don't know the knowledge of themselves. You can tell by the way they dress, by the way they eat, you know? You can tell they don't know that. That's what I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong again, but I believe that's what a savage is, a person that doesn't know the knowledge of themselves, and that's what our brothers and sisters are acting as, because they're not savages, because as we know and as we've been taught plenty of times, our brothers and sisters have, even our brothers and sisters' forefathers have been able to accomplish many things as building. Just one thing is building the pyramids that we have over in Africa. They still can't figure out with modern technology how they were built. But anyway, tying back into the question, you know, what the missions mean to me is, you know, that it's excellent. So we need to keep up with it. I know we've been going and doing and fulfilling the mission and doing our best to accomplish the mission for the past 80 years, and we need to keep on pushing, you know, keep on bringing our brothers in, teaching them, cleaning them up, bringing brothers in. You know, every month when we have those, when the numbers come in and all the different mosques have brought in people, clean them up, taught them the right way. You know, that's what we need to keep doing. We need to see those numbers in the 100s for first time guests and for new converts. You know, we need to see those numbers like that, but the missions, what they mean to me is that that they're excellent and that they're helping my people out. So I'm definitely 100% for them.
Yes, sir. I'll praise you for Allah. Thank you, Brother Naeem.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Samaya there, ma'am. And for you, what does the mission in the Nation of Islam mean for you?
Like Brother said, it's multiple things, but the main two that come to mind is keeping self upright, and then from getting yourself together, you go to get the people. Because if we're so much, like, so busy, like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm giving charity, I'm doing this, but you're not getting the people and helping them, you're not really doing anything. That's my opinion. Everyone else might say something different, though. But that's how I really feel. Like, if you're not trying to get the people and let them know this, and they come in as they, because you can't come in too hard with too many things. So, like, oh, like, invite them, even if it becomes a little annoying sometimes, but once I to let them know, like, oh, you should come out from the people at work, from the people you see, and there's a chance they might come in so they can do the same, because we're trying to get out to our people. But we can't get out to our people if we're not getting ourselves together. We're coming correct with ourselves.
Mm.
So the main mission to me is getting myself together and getting out to our people and growing into something better than where we are right now and becoming better than what everyone else thinks the standards of our people are now, like are weak and ignorant and everything, just letting them know, like, that's not what we are, like showing them what we can do, what we can become, just letting all those negative things, all them critical things that people have to say, just, like, shut it up. And we just we still reach out to our people and reach out and get ourselves together. That's what I think the mission is.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Our future is looking pretty bright, if I might say so myself. All praise is due to Allah. Brother Demetrius, you with us?
Ma'am.
Okay, yes, sir. And for you, same question. What does the mission in the Nation of Islam mean for you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. The sister and the brother was right on it. Definitely the resurrection of the dead and delivering our people to the Lamb, which is Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and to the truth. And, you know, part of raising our people up is the transfer of knowledge, transferring the knowledge over and training our people up, giving them knowledge of themselves, knowledge of how to be a businessman, you know, knowledge on bringing in a kingdom on earth. And that mission is a big mission when we thinking on bringing a kingdom here on earth. We know that's not nothing that actually going to take place overnight. And you being a worker on that job to help knock nails in the board or whatever it is that you got to do is a big mission. And being able to accept the mission to go out to raise our people up and to bring them in to the truth and the knowledge is a big mission within itself. But like the sister said, brother said, first you have to get the knowledge yourself. Go and study yourself. Go and discipline yourself. Go and master yourself. Then you will be able to help to go out and be able to transfer the knowledge into the people and help raise them up and bring them in and delivering them into the Lamb of God. And so it's a full mission, and it's a lifelong mission. It's nothing that's going to take place in a year and 2 years, because we know as Muslims, we die with our boots on. You know, we never quit our post until proper release, and the only time we properly release is when Allah releases us. So, you know, the mission is definitely is a big one, and the resurrection is definitely the number one mission for me. And us in Islam. So all praise due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. So all praise due to Allah. Beautiful answers, everyone. And I just want to, you know, take a moment and say, you know, I stand before no one, you know, as if I have all the answers. You know, again, I pose these questions, you know, for myself and, you know, for others, just as a, you know, a doorway for us to all start thinking. And, you know, we have to start somewhere and just raising awareness. And for other people who, you know, may be looking for something, and, you know, you hear in our discussion tonight. But, you know, again, I just want to thank everyone for their insight and, you know, just putting their own time and your thoughts and your words together for everyone to hear. And, you know, the mission, you know, I agree with what everyone said. You know, I have to clean myself up. But once I clean myself up, you know, I constantly ask Allah to, you know, keep me humble. It's not for me to clean myself up and now look down on anyone. You know, if anything, I've cleaned myself up, so I know what the process is to get clean, so I can come back down and you know, come and get the next hand, raise up my next brother, my next sister, and show them the process. And, you know, this is what I did. You know, let me help you. Let's go back in and help the next one. And, you know, it's a process. It's a cycle. And, you know, just like, you know, all three of you said, you know, the knowledge itself, you know, is so key, and that's what we're, you know, something that we're lacking, along with the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God, and the knowledge of the devil. And, I mean, I just know that the mission with the Nation of Islam, you know, is so real to me because, I haven't found this anywhere else. I wanted a relationship with God, and I haven't found it anywhere else. And, you know, nowhere else has made me, you know, who I am today and who I'm striving to be. You know, all praise is due to Allah. And, you know, I just agree with all that has been said. And the mission, you know, the works is real. And I really, truly acknowledge it on myself first, just like you said, sis. You know, within myself first. You know, I really have to get myself on the right path. And, you know, I'm here. I'm striving. I'm, you know, to stay here and work harder so that I can, you know, build up the strength and, you know, be that example for whoever Allah, you know, allows them to see me and you know, that I could be a light to someone else. So all praise is due to Allah. And let me see. Okay. Well, I mean, we kind of brushed on this already on, you know, just your favorite part of Islam. But looking at it from a bigger aspect, this is Samaya, I'm going to bring this to you. How has Islam most affected a certain area in your life?
A certain area. To be honest, it doesn't affect a certain, it affects everything in my life, from the way I eat, from the way I dress, from the way I carry myself. It's not really a specific thing that I could really say. It's like, it takes on a better me, I guess. It brings out a better me.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I think that is a sufficient answer. That's a very sufficient answer. I was going to say because it's kind of, for me, it's the same thing, the most affected part. But like you said, I wasn't in just any kind of way. My background is Judaism. I grew up Jewish, so I didn't eat pork. And then, you know, I wasn't an off-the-wall type of young lady. But it really, like you just said, you know, it really changed me to a better person where I could look at myself and, you know, strive not to judge others. And I think that is something that really, yes, ma'am, so I agree with you there. Young Brother Naeem, I mean, we all still got a lot of time on us, but what about you? You know, as far as Islam and how it has most affected a certain area in your life, if it has, if you can pick a certain area.
Well, I don't know if this counts as an answer, but I just say my lifestyle, period, you know. That's the only thing, because I can't just touch on a certain area, you know. Each area has been affected so greatly and equally, you know. I just changed my lifestyle, you know, as being like I said earlier, I wasn't just some totally different person as I was right now, but, you know, it's just changed me. The way I've been eating healthier, you know, lost a little weight, dropped a couple pounds off, you know, been praying more, praying for my family, praying for my brothers and sisters in the nation, praying more, you know. I've been exercising a little more, been studying, been learning more, going to the meetings every Sunday, learning more, getting involved in things. So, you know, it's just changed my lifestyle. You know, some things that might have affected me the wrong way, I might still be doing, or that might affect me the wrong way, I might still be doing if I hadn't just learned a little bit from being around the brothers, you know. Going out soldiering on Saturday, selling the final call, you know, you be surprised how much you learn and how much it affects you. You know, talking to the different brothers, you'd be surprised how much you learn. So, you know, just change my lifestyle, period.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Brother Demetrius, I'm going to switch it up for you a little bit. I kind of want to go into the topic of dealing with, you know, the religion, but from a family point of view where, you know, for example, I came into the nation, and I'm the only one in my family who's in the Nation of Islam. And, you know, there's been struggles there and conflicts and things, all kind of things. So how can you, you know, what kind of suggestions or your input that you can give as far as, you know, dealing with change or any religion, but, you know, I guess specifically with the Nation of Islam, but, you know, dealing with family who may not support you or back you in your decision of, you know, your path of oneness with God.
Yes, ma'am. I would say coming into the Nation of Islam was, it was a big move being that, you know, my whole family have a Christian background, and no one I could think of at the time was, you know, associated really with when it came to any other religion, definitely not being a Muslim. But I think when I changed and the way I changed and how I was persistent and consistent in what I was doing, all the things that they had to say about me and us as referred to our religion, it changed. You know, they was expecting me to do, you know, some things like my cousin or family, people that they seen in the streets that claim God for a year or two and then fall back victim to the streets or get out of jail and act like they all cleaned up and they talking the good talk, then they fall back. But one thing that they seen that I never felt that. You know, I might go through struggles and personal struggles like we all do, like Brother Kareem said, it's ordained, but never seen me fall back to my false self. They never seen nothing but realness out of me and seen nothing but Nation of Islam. And they respect the Nation of Islam, and they don't respect the Nation of Islam because of the minister. They respect the Nation of Islam because of what I showed, that the minister showed me. And I'm the example when it comes down to the Nation of Islam that they see. I am the one, you know, that all pay due to Allah that was putting me through the minister, that when they need something or a topic or something going on when it comes to God or religion, they refer to me. And the only thing they seen before this was drug dealing and drug selling and, you know, walking around, you know, not, you know, having my pants down, you know, doing certain things that I, you know, I wasn't walking my chest up. I thought I was, but I was living, you know, that false me. And when I came into that true self, it's like, it's so much respect now. All the jokes and all the stuff that they were doing and saying and all of that, it's like, nah, we don't want to go against that. Not that we, it's a challenge or anything, but they know they can't, it's nothing to try to battle me or challenge me with. It's nothing that they have that can defeat anything that I've showed them, or this is my lifestyle. And I never say, oh, y'all celebrating Christmas, or y'all, I never get into that. But they know that that lifestyle that I live now compared to then, in their mind, they saying all praise is due to Allah. The way I treat, you know, women and respect my mother now and give compliments and, you know, that way of, you know, referring the younger brothers in my family to me, and when it was funeral time, you know, actually coming to me two times asking me to do the funeral. And I was like, oh, me? You know, I was shocked. Like, I'm thinking y'all going to get a pastor, a preacher, but they allowed me, knowing that I just came out of the drug world and seeing my walk, to ask me to be able to do it, you know. So, and I was new. I didn't know what to do, but, you know, I prayed and I asked for help. And I was, so I'm only saying that because I went through all the things that we all go through coming to the nation, but it was my way that I stayed steadfast to the mission that changed the mindset of my family members and friends. And I, even to this day, they always say, hey, boy, you still ain't fell back yet? Or you the only one I know right now still going? You ain't, you know what I mean? It's like they always wondering, like, when is he falling back? I've seen already. When is he falling back? But, they, you know, every time they see him, I'm still soldiering the paper. I'm still being me. You know what I mean? I'm still speaking righteousness, but they never seen me fall back into the ways of the world. And so that helped change the mindset of the people that's around me, friends and family, to respect me a little more and respect the Nation of Islam. And even the ones that had a problem with the minister, now they respect the minister to a certain degree, though they have not came into the nation. So I think it was my walk, you know, staying steadfast into the life of a Muslim that helped change the mindset to where I don't, you know, have to deal with that so much of being a Muslim in a Christian family.
Right. Wow. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you so much for that, Brother Demetrius. I feel like you struck some more things in me to remain humble. And like you said, you know, I don't have to, you know, why you celebrating this? Why you do that? Why you believe this? You know, it's not about that. It's just, you know, walking in that perfect manner, driving. And, you know, you just put that clean glass up to the dirty glass and let people decide. So all praise is due to Allah, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, sis.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Naeem.
Can I just add on to what Brother said? I'm going to be very brief, I promise.
Oh, please, take your time. Go ahead.
But I just heard Brother mention I'm being myself. And tying back into the question that you asked, sister and I, you know, that's really what the nation has changed, what specific area, you know. It helped me become myself because, as we all know, ourselves are righteous Muslims, right?
Right.
So that's what we are taught. Ourselves are righteous Muslims. And I just heard Brother say that I'm being myself, and it just sparked in my mind. I'm like, oh, yes. Well, that's what the Nation of Islam has helped in my specific lifestyle, a specific area of my life. It's helped me to become myself. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. All praise due to Allah. Thank you so much. Brother Kareem, did we have a call or a comment or anything?
Assalamu alaikum.
No, ma'am. Not at this point. We don't.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Not
thank
at this
you.
Point, yes, ma'am.
I did want to chime in on the last question you asked, sister.
Yes, ma'am. Due to Allah.
The struggle. When you say that there is no God but God, no matter how you say Allah, 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 say it in English, say it in Hebrew, whatever language you say it in, and you walk what you say you believe in, then immediately struggle is ordained. Allah says in the Quran, do they think that they will be left alone merely on saying they believe? He said, no, it's going to be a test. A trial. He said, I'm going to send others to test you, to see if you say you believe in what you say you believe in, because faith is by works. Faith is by what is done. Faith is by what we do and how we do. When we say we believe in God, there is a certain shine that we wear on our face. There is a certain purity that we wear and we show within our heart. And if you ever notice it, children see it. They look at you. They smile at you. They come to you. Animals see it. They look at you. They come to you. They have peace with you. So when you say you believe in God and you say you're walking in his light, then there's a certain energy that you reflect, because God is life. God is light. God is truth. And so we say we believe in what we say we believe in. We should reflect that within our life, within our being. When you go out there, people are watching you. If you make one mistake, first thing they say is, aha, I knew it. Not that you're perfect and you're going to be perfect, because he without sin cast the first stone. But when we say we believe in God and we are his true servants, because we know there's only one God, no matter what name we call him by, there's one God. Then we struggle to say and what we believe in. Everybody going to come against you. Everything that's not in his submissive will is going to come against what you say you believe in. he asked Job, he said, I got my faithful servant Job. Have you tested him? He said, how can I test him? Talking to Satan. You got your hedge around him. You protecting him. See, he got us. He protects us when we belong here. He said, okay, I'm going to remove my protection. You can have everything but his life. When you are God's servant, Satan can take everything but your life because God said you belong to me. You can have the car. You can have the friendship. You can have the home. You can have the money. You can even have the things that surround me that's not me. But that is my servant, and you may not have his life. So hold on. In Surah 90, it says, why do man refuse to take the uphill road? And what would make you know what the uphill road is? It is to free a slave. And I'm going to leave you all with that and pray that we all seek that uphill road to seek freedom and one with Allah. Salaam alaikum, beloved family.
Wow, thank you so much for that. You know, your insights, oh my goodness, everyone's insight is just powerful. You know, I appreciate everyone's insight. So thank you, sis, for that. A reminder is a blessing, and you've just been a blessing all night long. before, you know, we get any further, I just wanted to take a moment to, you know, again, thank the panelists for being on the show. You know, everyone was on literally last minute down to the last second. So I want to thank everybody for that. Just the queen, she's not on, I don't think, but I just want to, you know, shout her out. She is just, you know, she's my backbone. She's the support that I, you know, I lean to. Whenever I need anything, I call her. She got me. And, you know, maybe she'll tune into the show and hear it. But I just want to shout out to the queen. Again, I don't think she's on. But, you know, all praise is due to Allah. I thank Allah for her, for the cream. I thank Allah for you and your work, your efforts, your wisdom and your insight. You know, I truly appreciate you as well. And I want to shout out Brother Ronnie. I'm not sure if he's on or not, but, you know, I was trying to get him on tonight, but, you know, he's a busy man. And I just wanted to shout him out. And, again, you know, this week we miss you again, and we hope to have you back soon. But, you know, I'm holding it down for you, big bruh. So, you know, I just wanted to shout you out and let you know that you're missed. And, you know,
we have a couple of minutes left here, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything you want to add or anything, callers or anything before we continue?
Okay. No one has their hand up or anything, but I would like to share something just briefly.
Yes, sir.
Which hopefully will tie together everything that's been shared by everyone. The book Our Savior Has Arrived by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, states this. In the acknowledgement, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this: I thank Allah that I have been sent by him. He is backing me up to bring the enemy to his well-brought doom, hell. We want what God has taught us. If I have 40 million helpers, they are helping, but they are not responsible for the message. I am the only one God will hold responsible for you not getting the truth. So speaks the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I share that, and I want to say is this, is that in this mission, you see, and you all mentioned, you were saying that to you all it looked as if it were multifaceted. And it is multifaceted. However, the mission is one. As Brother Demetrius said, the mission is to deliver the people to the Lamb of God. That's the mission. Now, everything else that we talked about is what we have to do to deliver the people, the dead, to the Lamb. Those are all the things we must participate in. You see, I myself personally was born in the Nation of Islam. However, I got a chance to see when, during the fall, as it was called, I got a chance to see what life was like on the other side, so to speak. And the thing is this, is that you all talked about prayer and how important prayer is. And we have to grow to understand that prayer is not just making salat. It's not just standing up with right hand over left, over the midsection, and repeating, quote-unquote, the morning prayer or the evening prayer. All those are forms. All those are ways of focusing our attention. But true prayer has to be in everything we do. The word prayer comes from a Latin word, obtenere, which means literally to obtain. So how do we attain that which we seek? How do we attain? We have to put into practical application every facet, every aspect of what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us and what now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is reiterating. I've heard individuals when the minister speaks, pardon me, and that's why what Student Minister Ismail Muhammad said at the Holy Day of Atonement is so important. This is not a cult, first of all, of personality worship. Okay? Yes, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has his place, and the bottom line is you can't take that from him no matter what you say, no matter what you do. However, he is an example to us of where we all need to be. When we walk into a room, when we speak, when an individual just sees us, whether we just standing there at the bus stop, be that as you will, or in the grocery store, they should see Allah. On whatever level we may be at in our development, they should see Allah. And that light should draw them in so that we can deliver them to the Lamb. What is delivering them to the Lamb? Is delivering them to the Lamb meaning that they're going to necessarily join the quote-unquote Nation of Islam proper? No. It means that we spark the idea in their mind that, I want to be what I see. It may not be a literal thought, but they are attracted to that because that's the direction that they need to go in. And now, as a matter of fact, you got 1 minute, but you got two people on the line. You want me to bring them in?
Please, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, both of them are area code 813. I'm going to start with 813-0824. Your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Salam, sir.
Yes, I got one quick question. Why do you, or do y'all, think, from your understanding, that there's more elders in the mosque in church, in the so-called houses of God, period, more so than the youth? Why are the youth not rebelling, but rebelling, not rebelling against God, but rebelling against the type of teachings that they are, that we are hearing today and to God? If I'm understood. If not, I'll redirect the question.
Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Well, we're all about out of time, but I will field that question at this point. The reason that the youth, quote-unquote, you find more elders, number one, in the quote-unquote houses of God, is because, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said some years ago, when people start reaching the end of their, when they start thinking, oh, my time is about up, and believing in a spook God, they think they're getting ready to go meet him. Now, all of a sudden, they want to get right. That's one of your main reasons that you have that. The reason that the youth, you don't see a lot of youth in these places is because, I'll be very frank with you, as I teach the youth and I talk to anybody, I tell them if you go to the mosque, you go to the church, you go to the temple, wherever you go, and you go there looking for God, you're not going to find him. You got to bring him there with you, and then the God in you will make a connection with the God and whoever is there that is actually serving the God. The reason that you don't see a lot of youth up in these places, you can find it in the book of Ezekiel, where God talks about the fact that the judgment will start first in the house of God, in his house, because I'm not saying all of them, but many of them are not really carrying out the work and the words of Almighty God. In the New Testament, I believe Jesus called them whited sepulchres. In other words, on the outside, it looked real good, but inside them are dead man's bones. I believe that's the quote. You know, and so in my view, I'll say it like that. That's why, you know, see, the youth will only respond to the true God. You know, I'm like,
make a swan.
And I'm gonna bring in this, the last individual. Okay, area code 813-4685. Your mic is live.
I don't like them.
Well, like a swan, ma'am.
This is Sister Naisha from Tampa, Florida. Briefly, I just want to speak on what was just said because, you know, I am a youth, you know, and I am one of the few that are live in a mosque, you know. So I just want to say, I believe. Somebody tell me to hold on.
No, you know, I said, come on. I like this.
Oh, okay. I believe the majority of the youth are not in the mosque or the church or what have you because we don't like beating around the bush. We like people that speak straightforward, clear words, say what it is and not, you know, try to sugarcoat something or dress it up in, like, spirits or whatever it is. Just give it to us raw. Give it to us straight up what it is. How is God a man? How is he not a man? You know, come with actual facts more so than just saying something and trying to make us feel good and, you know, catch the Holy Ghost or even just come back to the mosque because whatever reason and we're going to have food after the service or whatever you have. So if you just like Minister Farrakhan, when he talked to us plain, he give it, you know, so clear that even a non-believer will have no choice but to believe what he's saying because it's nothing but truth. And when you're giving truth and plain truth and not trying to hide or, you know, hold your hand with information from which you know to be the truth, then people are more accepting of it, especially the youth today because we have seen so much, you know, youth have been in the church and seen the pastor sleeping with, you know, the deacon's wife or whatever is going on. We just seen people in the mosque that when they leave the mosque, we might see them in the club that night or, you know, that weekend. Well, not me, but processing people and things like that. So it's just, you know, you have to be firm and be real with the youth today and not just try to say stuff that sounds good to their ear and then expect for them to move on that because that's not what we move on today. As the minister has said plenty of times, this generation is of warriors, you know. We're not the same as the generation before us or the ones coming after us. You know, we're here for war. We're here for battle. We're here to, you know, take back our rightful places on this planet as rulers and kings and queens. But that's all I wanted to say on that. And my other comment was I just wanted to really just commend Sister Yatira, Brother Demetrius, Sister Samaya, and Brother Naeem, which is, you know, he's really young, and I'm really, like, I go to the mosque with him, so I kind of know, you know, how little he is, and it was just really powerful to hear him speaking tonight so firmly, and Brother Demetrius being a secretary, you know, speaking on another aspect other than monies, and Samaya being a wife, just speaking on, you know, being a youth, period. It was just a beautiful experience tonight on this call, and I thank again Sister Yatira for inviting me to listen to her call again, and I encourage everybody to put the word out there about the radio show every Saturday before Saturday. Keep people reminded about it because it is a good show for us to ask questions, make comments, and learn more about, you know, what it is going on in this world today with the youth and with our generation, period. That's it. Sister Naisha speaking.
Yes, ma'am. All right, Sister Yatira.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Well, like I said, we we're out of time. We've actually been out of time, so I'm going to very quickly go run through the lineup, and then you can close us out. All right. What we have for you tomorrow at 6:30 p.m., Brother Vernon Muhammad, No Romance Without Finance. On Monday, Conscious Black Nation, where all praise is due to Allah, I'm blessed to be the host. Our topic will be how to give birth to a God. On Tuesday, out on the front line with the FOI, Brother Jihad Muhammad. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar with our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad with Nation Building Presents. And I believe her topic will be the Believing Woman this week. Then on Friday at 8 p.m., Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, with our live study group, Put on the New Man. And we'll be right back here next Saturday with our beloved Queen Yetira Wong Young, Gifted in Black. And do you have a topic or a subject yet, sister?
The topic title isn't in stone, but it's going to be powerful. I already have my guest speaker, so, you know, be prepared for a great show.
All
yes,
praise
ma'am.
Is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. So I'm going to turn it back over to you so you can close us out.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you all for joining into the show, for participating, asking questions. We're just going to close out with prayer, okay? In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, O Allah, we beseech your help and ask your mercy, for we believe in you and trust in you for all that we need. We are helpers in your cause as your apostles. Please grant to us success. Amen.
Amen. All right, so that is the end of our show, most powerful show. I want to thank you, Sister Yetira. Thank everybody that was on. As always, the thought is the act is the fact. We either participate or dissipate. We leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.